Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I am here.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 4:02 in the Pacific time zone. Happy 4:20 to my dyslexic listeners out there. We've got Simone Simaluka Radzins in the studio. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You're having a good time?
I am. Well,
that's good to hear. Simone is with New Era CPAs. She was our guest in the first hour. And we met her at the Cannabis Creative Conference. Wasn't that a great conference?
I was so impressed. Shout out to them. I mean, it was probably the best conference I've been to because it had the educational aspect, all the vendors. I mean, I think a lot of people learned.
Yeah, I think they did well. And there was far more of the panels than anyone could possibly have gotten to.
Yeah.
But the good news is I've heard from Mary Lou Burton. She's got video of every panel.
Yeah.
It's going to go up on their website at cannabiscreativeconference.com. You'll even get to hear our panel, the 3400 panel, Thursday at 8 in the morning, where Simone was sitting and asking very pointed and very intelligent questions. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we had some more questions for you.
I'm the question answerer.
So here you are, ready
right.
to answer questions.
I hope I can answer them.
Well, Speed Limit, our attorney friend in Bend, Oregon, okay. wants to know, is your firm interested in the Bend market?
Yes, we are. Absolutely. I mean, like I said, like we love Oregon and I'm from Oregon and being able to actually, I went to an OLCC meeting and there was a dispensary from Bend. They were part of like the committee group talking. I was like, man, I got to get out to Bend and yeah. I have to see it. So yeah, absolutely.
Right on. Now, where are you from in Oregon originally?
I'm from Northeast Portland.
You're like a Portland native?
Yeah. Like grew up, went to Grant High School.
You may be the only Portland native I know.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy because I've been meeting people and Portland's changed so much. I'm like, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Baltimore. Oh, I'm from, you know, everywhere else. And, yeah. But they're adopting the Portland of what it is. So
definitely yeah. keeping Portland weird.
Yeah.
I've helped move out, I don't know, 15 or 16 people now to Portland from all over, like Georgia and Alabama and Idaho and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
it's amazing how many people that are transplants here to Portland. So whenever I meet a Portland native, it's...
You're like, what's going on? Well, and I wonder with Portlandia, how many people saw that show and they were like, oh,
yeah.
I've got to get to that place with Voodoo Donuts and everything like that.
Yeah, you got to have the Voodoo Donut. I think the thing that says the most about Portland is the fact that we have not one... but two vegan strip clubs.
What?
Yes, two vegan strip clubs. That's everything you need to know about Portland in one noun.
That's what I'm going to tell all my friends back in LA.
Yeah, because in Oregon, if you have a liquor license, you have to sell food, right? And yeah. then here in Portland, it's all about, everybody's got a diet thing in Portland.
Yeah.
Gluten-free, lactose intolerant. And, yeah.
Everything, yes. I'm gluten-free, though.
You are?
Yeah.
You're absolutely gluten-free?
Yeah, I get sick, but there's some really good gluten-free edibles.
That's the thing. If you if you got a gluten thing, Portland's where you want to be.
Yeah.
We have full-on restaurants, like numbers of them, and food carts, numbers of them.
Absolutely. No, but I was even talking about like cannabis edibles. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you have it up here yet, but in California, there's Auntie Dolores. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, actually, Auntie Dolores got in touch with me and wants to be
on the show. She is so cool. I think it's like two founders,
yeah.
and she was speaking at an event, but they've got some amazing edibles.
Yeah.
yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to some other questions that we've got for you. Do you foresee a glut of cannabis industry audits on the horizon?
By who is first IRS? The question. The IRS, okay, so they haven't increased their budget. And, you know, obviously there is a certain amount of audits that can happen. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, that it would be on the radar. But they haven't increased their budget. They haven't increased their headcount, you know, to go after this. I would almost say, what about the OL? It depends where you are. We're in Oregon, but this is a national thing. And what we've seen in California is that there's a lot of Board of Equalization audits. Mm-hmm. So that's... like,
that's California's state tax board.
So it's the tax board. So it's more of like, hey, now you're here and you are legal and you are for the world to know. And let's see what regulatory body can make sure that you're complying. So I don't know if I foresee a ton of more IRS audits, but more maybe just in general that, you know, the microscope is here. And let's hope that, you know, people are going to be fair and whatnot.
So it's going to be the state bureaucracies, OLCC here in Oregon, Washington State Board in Washington.
Yeah, and then, I mean, even like there was like a local dispensary in Tahoe that got shut down, that had a huge raid. And I was talking to somebody and they're like, who's the raids by? Is it by the feds? And it wasn't. It was by a local sheriff. So I think it really matters, A, in what state you are. And be like, you know, who's aware of you and just making sure that you comply.
All right. We were talking a lot about tax issues when it came to 280 and all that. Mm-hmm. So how do those codes affect industrial hemp? If someone's got an industrial hemp farm, are they still...
That's a really good question. And we haven't really worked with it. But I mean, it goes back to the classification, right?
Sure. So Schedule one.
There you go.
Yeah, so that, I would imagine it would.
And unfortunately, that's kind of what you have to do. You just take sometimes you get so like boggled down in the detail, but then you just have to take the step back. How is it classified? Yeah. Until the classification goes away, 280E, banking, that's going to stay. And that just sucks. So
but all
bad.
That stuff we talked about the production of the actual plant, I think more of an industrial hemp plants would be on that tip.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Interesting stuff. All right. Again, we're speaking with Simone Luca Radzins. She's with NewEraCPAs.com. And you can also check out information on CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com and her forthcoming book, The Best Book Ever Written on Marijuana Finance. That's the tentative title.
I like it.
All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more, get some more questions ready, and we'll wind things up as we approach 420 here in legal Potland, Oregon.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
It's 420 somewhere. You're listening to 420radio.org.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Step into the future every Tuesday night with Electric Bob's Boogaloo, our weekly electronic music jam. Electric Bob brings you the latest house, trance, dubstep, and other electronic music from the freshest DJs and producers. It's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at 11 p.m. on 420radio.org.
The The Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference is happening September 12th and 13th at the Hilton in downtown Portland. Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, and I hope you'll take advantage of this amazing opportunity to learn the latest business and legal information concerning cannabis commerce in Oregon in 2015 and beyond. Check out OMMBC.com right now for early bird pricing, because we're likely to sell out. That's OMMBC.com, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
Ah, Kitty Cat has made a new friend. Hello. We're back with Simone here from New Era CPAs and my unfortunately named cat, Isis.
Isis?
Yeah, she's 16, so she was named long before the terrorist organization.
Yeah.
I was going to sue him. I assume him for copyright or something. I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
That's music from Diva Sonic, by the way. The song is called I Feel High. That's part of our Electric Tuesday music. And coming up at 4:20, we've got our Electric Tuesday Daily Toker Tunes. You can take a smoke break and listen to the best of electronic music with Electric Bob calling us live from Phoenix, Arizona, assuming his phone has not melted yet. Let's go to our phone lines. We got a caller on our toll-free line, 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. 971 area code. That's Portland. You're on the air.
Oh, good. Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, good. My name is Chris, O-T-E-Y, and it sounds like I might have your app on as well, but maybe not. I'll turn that off real quick. But I had a quick question about a CPA, maybe like a limo service, a Sprinter van service, something that takes people around that can smoke recreationally into hot spots in Portland. I'm curious what the jurisdictions might be and legalities of that.
You know, I know in 3400, and I think what the OLCC is allowed or not allowed to do, they're not going to license what they call mobile premises. But I think what they mean by that is you can't have like an RV that's a mobile dispensary and then you drive it someplace and people buy weed from you. I don't know that that would affect someone who's just having like a livery service, a limousine or a party bus or something like that. Do you know anything on that line?
Exactly.
No, I'm not sure. I mean, I would just have to think about one of the issues that I discussed with somebody is that they wanted to hold an event. And if they are charging for the event, then it becomes public, right? So I would wonder if you'd have an issue with that. Like, yeah. And then if it's public, you might not be able to. I'm not positive.
Let me give you an address to check out, though. Our friends at Oregon Cannabis Compliance Council are on the legal end of this, some of these business matters. It's OregonC3.com, I think. OregonCharlie3.com for Oregon Cannabis Compliance Council. That's Lee Berger. He's been a longtime Portland marijuana attorney, and he could probably get you a better answer.
Very cool. I appreciate it. I will continue listening. Thanks so much.
Hey, and Chris, thanks for your support and your volunteering. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Happy help. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Again, we're here with Simone Simaluka Radzins, and she is a Portland native who's involved with the cannabis industry in the era of finance and CPA work. And we were talking off air about the hemp aspect of this, because it's something that it's developing so new now that we were kind of caught by the question.
I was super caught by that question, just because, I mean, I don't think of hemp, like marijuana though too, as being illegal. So I was like, well, what's this? And I know we were talking about that bill, but I was like, what's the scheduling? That's just the answer. Yeah.
Now he came up with a response on this, which is something to think about.
Okay.
The federal definition of marijuana under the Controlled Substances Act doesn't include the mature stalk and the fiber and how that's written up, because you kept coming back to how is it classified.
Exactly.
Well, if they're harvesting hemp seed, it might be different than if they're harvesting hemp herd, the stalks. I don't know.
Wow. I mean, that is really true. I mean, I think I'd have to, this guy's very smart. I have to give you some props for asking a very difficult question.
He also wants to know if I want him to file a cease and desist order against ISIS. Yeah, let's see how far that goes. Let's file it for the fun of it.
Maybe they'll be on your next show. You know what? I don't know. I'll have to look into it. And I can, if you get his email, I can give you an email back, because it's a very good question. And again, that's maybe more of a lawyer thing of like, how do you read it, right? Because in the end, if you can argue it should not be that in that definition, then maybe it's not susceptible to 20, a Schedule One drug.
So is this, you know, working in the marijuana industry as a CPA, something that's like, because I kind of have this vision in my head of CPA work just being kind of rote and monotonous and kind of the same old, and then for someone working in this industry, is it like, oh, good, cannabis, oh, my God, something interesting?
I just, you know, I love it because I love to help businesses. Yeah. And it's so cool because you don't understand, like, well, I'll talk to people and they've got the craziest idea for their business that I know is going to be successful. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's cool because it's cannabis. It's this uncharted, you know, territory in terms of business, right? And, like, I'm trying to write accounting guidance for growers because no one's written it yet. And to me, yeah, it's exciting. It's cool to go to, you know, a dispensary and that be your client. And, you know, I would never have thought that in my old career, right? Like, that is cool. But then it's, I think what's the coolest thing, though, is just hanging out with these people who have these business minds and being able to help them, though, too, for the ones who might need a little bit of guidance on how, on their strategy, just to run a business. Hmm. It was cool. I was in Humboldt and we were meeting with some growers, and just to talk about, you know, there's like, you know, 60-year-olds that are like, yeah, I want to start this business. I want to, you know, work into clones. What do I do? I don't want to be part of the business. Like, I'm not a business person. And it's cool to be able to give them advice, to tell them about maybe trying to think about branding and help them.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Simone, you're obviously intelligent and internationally traveled and successful in a complex field. And that field is cannabis. So what's your personal relationship with cannabis? How did you get into a cannabis related field here?
Okay, well, so when I was in high school, and my parents know
at Grand High, at Grand High,
you know, I was a cannabis user. It was part of the culture. It's part of the culture of being in Northeast Portland, and it's cool.
I'll attest to that.
Yeah, and it's cool to see some of the people that I went to high school with owning dispensaries. You know, So I'd always been part of the culture, and you know, I came back. I was living in France for 2 years doing management consulting. Came back in 2014.
What's the cannabis like in France?
Oh my God. Well, it's completely forbidden. If you wear a cannabis shirt, it's illegal.
Wow. Yeah.
It's I could talk about this one for a long time. So I don't know. I don't know what the cannabis culture is. I was too afraid to be locked away.
Okay. But we will put you in the French prison. Yes,
exactly. I did not want it to be. I didn't want to have a Marie Antoinette kind of style. Yeah.
They feed you nothing but baguettes and water.
Yes. And vin-de-vin. But I don't speak good French. And so I came back in 2014 and I started doing kind of my consulting and I, you know, started hearing about cannabis and the legalization and it just, as somebody who loves to not work for anybody and kind of just do something new and kind of try to create a path, I was just so intrigued. So I ended up, you know, thinking about it, interviewing a lot of people to understand how my role could be in the industry. You know, I don't want to start a company. I'm good at helping people. And then I teamed up with my business partner and he'd been in the industry since 2009 helping and doing all this stuff. So he was just fantastic. His name's Mario. I think he's in Seattle right now. And he just kind of took me under his wing, kind of told me some of the stuff that he'd been learning. And we've just been a great team since. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And in your experience as a cannabis consumer, had it ever been detrimental in any way? Did you ever get caught, get suspended, parents didn't like it, anything like that? Any negatives?
No negatives at all. No negatives at all. I'm trying to think. Maybe I have a bad memory, but
something bad happened, but yeah, I forgot, man.
I don't think so. And never did it, you know, it impede kind of my success in my career or anything like that. So.
And you are a CPA yourself?
Yeah, okay. I'm a CPA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a CPA licensed in Oregon.
Fantastic.
I have to also get my license in California, which is not hard. It's just paperwork.
Yeah, and I imagine you're all looking at California with bated breath for 2016 because that's going to open up a lot of jobs.
It is, but it's, and we're dealing with a lot of people down there already from the medical market, but it's just like, man, the regulation, I really want to start helping, like, write the law. And I've been trying to help, like, give the OLCC, like, some guidance on the finance and the, you know, the accounting aspect to all of this. So, yeah, California, I hope, has as good of a, you know, system as Oregon did, because it seems like, I mean, with the economists trying to figure out what the tax rate would be and looking at, did you go to that?
I wasn't able to go to any of the other panels, no, unfortunately.
So basically, he had done this analysis.
Was that Bo Kilmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the recording of that.
Okay, you got the recording. Yeah. But his whole concept was so cool. Like, let me see what the maximum amount people will pay based off of economics of a tax, and that was kind of the guidance to help figure out what the tax would be here. So, you know, to discourage black market, because Washington, you know, had a lot of issues.
And we ended up here with what is so far the lowest tax rate of any of the four legal states. Exactly. It's going to be 17% state, up to 3% local, mm-hmm. if they allow for the marijuana licensees. Compare that to 37% in Washington, 15 plus 10 in Colorado, exactly. and whatever it ends up being in Alaska.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
All right, we shall. It's 420 here in the Pacific Time Zone, the home of the world's greatest cannabis. Yeah, I said it. We're going to take a short break for an important union-mandated safety briefing. When we return, Electric Bob will be on the line, bringing us some great Electric Tuesday Daily Toker tunes. Stick around.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Herb Thrasher, and you're listening to 420 Radio. Bongs up!
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. It is certainly safer here in Roller J Studio. Still hanging out with Simone in the studio for another 7 minutes or so, but joining us on the phone line right now, we got Electric Bob calling in from the sweltering desert of Phoenix, Arizona. How you doing, Bob?
I'm sweltering.
Hey, if it makes you feel better, I just read a thing on MSNBC that they're having 165 degree heat index in Iran today.
Well, I feel worse for the people of Iran, man. That's some heat I couldn't deal with, and they got to deal with us. They got to deal with the heat plus our stupid politicians.
Yeah, it's bad enough they had to talk to John Kerry, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I hope everything's going well in Arizona. I know you guys are still fighting for marijuana legalization. Any updates on the two competing initiatives down there?
I haven't really been like on the up and up, but I'm assuming MPP has gotten a lot more signatures and that RAD is trying to get signatures.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's fighting for their version. It seems like in a few states, there's an MPP and then there's the locals fighting against them. Or I shouldn't say fighting against, but, you know.
Well, there's three of them here. There's MPP and two locals fighting against each other that are fighting against MPP. It's a clusterfuck of legalization.
Well, it's better than having no legalization, I suppose.
Yes, yes. I appreciate them fighting, but...
Has there been any changes lately in the medical side of things in Arizona?
No, everything's still good here. I picked up some smoke last night, actually.
Very good.
Went to my local dispensary.
What are you smoking on today?
I forgot the name of it already.
See, you're like me, man. It's weed.
Yeah, it's weed. It's good. It gets me stoned.
That's what we need,
names,
right?
Names are bullshit for the most part. Like, I understand strains and stuff like that, but... Unless I'm getting it from a grower, I'm not going to trust the name.
Yeah, what's the point of that? For me, if we can narrow it down to sativa, indica, or hybrid, I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on.
But I've started a new record label, actually, with my buddy in L.A., and the track of that coming up, it's our first single, and it's been phenomenal. I put it up on Sunday, and it has, like, 600 plays right now.
Wow, what's the name of the new record label?
It's a Broken Souls Recordings. You can find us on SoundCloud, and it's a SOLES.
Ah, like the sole of your shoe.
Yes. Right, because of like dancing and all that, so it's kind of like a double entendre.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Broken Souls Records, and who's this artist you got coming up?
This is Indirect. He is out of New Jersey. I'm not too sure, but this is just a really phenomenal, really like groundbreaking, forward-thinking music. So. I don't know. There's really no genre it ties into. It's just really, really good dance music.
And what's the title?
Indirect. It's by True Key.
Okay, this is Indirect by True Key. Thank you very much, Electric Bob. Stay cool.
You too.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Herb Thrasher, and this is 420radio.org.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific for Weeds Day Wednesday, podcasting at blogtalkradio.com. A live medical cannabis radio show with interviews, news, strain reviews, product reviews, and information about anything and everything medical marijuana. Check our online listings for Weeds Day Wednesday with Tumbleweeds Health Center from blogtalkradio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Tool ever devised for understanding how the world works.
Science is a vacuum for knowledge. We are always at the brink of the node.
Science is a collaborative enterprise spanning the generations. We remember those who prepared the way, seeing through them also.
If you're scientifically literate, the world looks very different to you, and that understanding empowers you.
There's real poetry.
Welcome back, everybody.
In the real world. Science is the poetry.
Toker Talk Radio, that's music from Symphony of Science with the poetry of reality. What a wonderful guest we had on the show earlier today. If you missed her, make sure you tune in to the replay, 6 p.m. tonight, for my talk with Simone. Got to get her last name right. Simone Simaluka Radzins, who is our guest in the studio, a CPA and Portland native with NewEraCPAs.com, and very bright, very on top of what's going on here financially in the marijuana industry. Really looking forward to more conversations with her in the future. And boy, what a nice job I have sometimes. What a great gig when quality, intelligent guests are booking themselves on the show. That makes my life a whole lot easier. Thanks, Simone, for being a part of the show. We, like I said, we'll look forward to talking to you again sometime. Now, I wanted to talk about other news that is concerning to me, and it concerns me with respect to NORML, an organization that I love dearly. Of course, NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, was founded in 1970 by Keith Stropp. And full disclosure, got to let you all know, Keith Stropp is one of my best friends in the movement or otherwise. He's always been supportive of me and been a very helpful mentor and guide throughout the 10 years of my marijuana activism. So understand that where I'm coming from is not an unbiased place here. Okay, I love NORML. I love the founder of NORML. And the person who's the subject of this story is someone I know personally and have considered a friend for all the years that I've known him, going from events to event. And that is Rob Ryan, who, according to Ann Saker, by the way, Ann Saker used to be a reporter here in Oregon, so I kind of know her as well. She's now a reporter in Cincinnati, and she's reporting that Ohio Normal has removed Rob Ryan. They voted him out of the leadership position of Ohio Normal, which he has had for the past 3 years. According to the story, 12 members of the Ohio Normal Board of Directors, most of them leaders of the nine regional chapters, so 9 out of 12 of the board members are the regional chapter leaders, plus another three, voted to remove Ryan from the state presidency. A 21-item bill of particulars complained that Ryan has been mean to Normal members, especially those who do not share his support of Responsible Ohio. And that's where this comes down to, is the fact that we've got Responsible Ohio, this well-funded group, putting together marijuana legalization for the state of Ohio, that many of these normal chapters in Ohio, the regional chapters, hate. There's a number of these people in these local normal chapters in Ohio that hate Responsible Ohio. They're part of this, you know, the true legalization cadre, the typical folks that, you know, well, it's not good enough. There's something wrong with the business plan, so we got to vote it down, right? They don't like the idea that it's going to write into the Constitution a oligopoly of 10 growers, 10 investment groups that will control all the growing of marijuana. Everything else in Responsible Ohio is really good legalization, by the way. It's going to create pot shops. It'll have low taxes. You can run a pot shop. You can run a processor. You can have a home grow. You're going to be able to have concentrates. You're going to be able to have legal marijuana. You're going to have a medical marijuana program. Everything else about this is wonderful, except that one part. That one part they don't like, which is only 10 people will get rich, or 10 entities will get rich growing marijuana. Now, what complicates this is Rob Ryan claims that this ouster of his is because of his support of Responsible Ohio. The new president of Ohio Normal claims that his ouster has nothing to do with his support for Responsible Ohio. Her name is Brandi Schaefer, and she says in an email that it has, quote, absolutely no bearing on their decision, and that, quote, Robert Ryan would still have been removed from Ohio Normal even if Responsible Ohio never existed, end quote. So the new Ohio Normal people are trying to say, no, it's not because we're not getting rid of the president because he supported legalization like Normal does. We're getting rid of him because he is mean and abusive and bullying. Okay. Now, I will give you a benefit of the doubt. Rob Ryan's one of the few people that I've had conversations with in the marijuana movement who can go head to head with me as far as being bullying and abrasive. Okay. So I can understand that point of view. I can. And Rob himself will admit that he's gruff and kind of, you know, straight in your face to the point kind of guy. All right. But he has always been a stalwart supporter of legalization and a very hardworking activist who has traveled at great expense to himself, both, you know, financially and his physical health, to represent marijuana consumers in Ohio. And where this gets confusing is the fact that Normal has just National Normal, under the name of Keith Stropp, the founder, has written a lengthy piece about this Responsible Ohio thing and points out, quote, at National Normal, we have always been about stopping the practice of treating responsible marijuana smokers as criminals and about establishing a legally regulated market where consumers can buy their marijuana in a safe and secure environment. For us, at the national level, if this initiative qualifies for the ballot, I think there is no doubt that we will support it, even though it's not our favorite version of legalization, end quote. Now, that's that echoes pretty much my points, and folks, like I said, my full disclosure, we're all good friends and everything, but I don't work for Normal. I'm independent. I think I made that perfectly clear in 2012. But I still have a lot of care for Normal. I still agree with Normal's mission. But my agreement with it in this case was come to on a completely independent basis. I've been supporting Responsible Ohio from the very beginning, long before National Normal uttered a peep about it, because National Normal has a policy of not weighing in on ballot initiatives until they make the ballot. Because they've been there for 40 years, 45 years. They've heard every tale of every ballot initiative and every promise that was ever going to make the ballot and seen more than them than not fail to make the ballot. More often than not, they fail to make the ballot. So why put the organization's name and reputation out on a limb for something that's just going to crash and burn, right? So they hadn't been talking about Responsible Ohio at all. Even to the point where I was needling them a bit. You check my Twitter feed a couple times. I needled National Normal about, hey, are you going to weigh in on this Responsible Ohio thing or not? And true to form, they did not. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that because that's their policy and it's been consistent. So Keith Strop has finally weighed in on this and makes the same points I've always made. That Responsible Ohio is the shittiest form of business plan that I would vote for legalization. Because when it comes down to it, we're talking about the crime of marijuana smoking. That's the number one thing we're trying to eliminate. The crime of marijuana smoking. And Responsible Ohio does that. It eliminates the crime of marijuana smoking. The second point, to eliminate the crime of marijuana buying. And Responsible Ohio does that too. Any adult will be able to go into Ohio, walk into a pot shop, and buy marijuana legally, and be able to possess it and smoke it legally. And that's Normal's mission. Now, the next part, creating a new multi-billion dollar industry that everyone can take part in and be able to grow, sell, process marijuana, is past Normal's mission. Normal's a consumer lobby. Not a business lobby. The people who should be pissed off about Responsible Ohio setting a grow cartel or oligopoly or whatever you want to call it, those people should be the National Cannabis Industry Association. Those people should be the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce. Those people should be the Marijuana Business Association. Those are the ones to take up the mantle of being pissed off at Responsible Ohio because that's in their wheelhouse. How the marijuana business runs is not in Normal's wheelhouse. So I got a big problem with these local Normal chapters. If they want to keep the name Normal, if they come out vocally against Responsible Ohio, I wonder what National Normal's going to do. Are they going to put together guidelines? Because I know in the previous Normal chapter guidelines that you had to stand for Normal's basic mission. If you're coming out as a Normal chapter against something that ends marijuana arrests, I don't think you get to use the word Normal anymore. I think you lose that brand. You lose that trademark. I don't think you get to benefit from that anymore. I'm not usually one to be the person who's calling for ideological purity. I generally think I'm tolerant of some range of opinions on things. Maybe not. Maybe I'm fooling myself. But on this one, I got to draw a line. And to me, that line is, if you are voting to continue the status quo of marijuana arrests when there's an alternative, then you've crossed that line and you're not Normal anymore. You've crossed the line to vote on the same side as Project Sam. You've crossed the line to vote on the same side as the Ohio State Police and the Drug Enforcement Administration and the Office of National Drug Control Policy. When you have a viable alternative. Now, the business model sucks. There's no doubt about it. And I think, personally, that it sucks so bad that it'll be changed within a few years anyway. They'll find very quickly that 10 licensed grows is not going to serve the market that needs to be served, and it's going to backfire and not going to work like they want it to. And it just blows my mind that people who think that in 2016 they could get the money and funding and signatures to pass a better, true legalization don't seem to have the confidence of their own predictions that the business model will suck that it would suck bad enough that they could get the money and signatures to amend that constitutional provision to allow for more grows? Why is it you think you have the power to get a brand new legalization on the ballot, but you don't have the power to amend an existing legalization when you predict one of its planks will be so odious as to be a failure? It's not consistent internally. The logic is not there internally for me to buy that. Good luck to Robert Ryan, good friend of mine. We're going to take a break.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Hey, what's up? It's Herb Thrasher, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Open the corner of your eye and try to get behind your mask. Ask yourself why you have to hide, divide the answers of the task.
Welcome back, everybody. That's music from Danny Rhymes on our Electric Tuesday. And don't forget, 8 o'clock tonight, Electric Tuesday's music show is Electric Bob's Boogaloo. You'll get an hour of great music, including some new music from the brand new Broken Souls recording label from Phoenix, Arizona. That's coming up 8 p.m. Pacific tonight and replaying in our six-hour music block every weekend starting at 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday nights. All right, let's go to the phone lines. I've got a very patient listener who's been hanging on for a while from the 951 area code. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, Russ. It's Mike from the Free Thought News. Anyways, not really from the Free Thought News. I'm just free associating. I'm with the Human Solution International.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for calling back. We always liked hearing from you. What's happening?
Well, anyways, we had a victory in Kansas that the defendant that was charged with felony murder was acquitted. The jury of all 12 people found him innocent.
Now
he walked out a free man.
This was the case where the guy had was shot in a robbery and was actually charged with the murder of the guy who shot him because he was involved in the cannabis trade or something. What was the story on this one?
Well, that's pretty close to it. He knew a guy that knew a guy that sold pot. He had a chance encounter with somebody he knew in high school that asked him if he knew where to find pot. So he decided to ask. He said, okay, because this was his friend in high school, an acquaintance, really. And he asked another friend who knew a guy that sold pot in Kansas, that, who happened to be the ex-state senator's brother.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this actually was an intentional robbery. The friend that was looking for pot was actually a gang member who was setting up these other people to rob him. And one person was shot dead. The defendant was shot twice, once in the leg and then once in the abdomen, and then another person was shot also. Three people got felony life charges for this because of the one death. And the defendant was found not guilty because the Human Solution, along with Exposed Kansas and Bleeding Kansas, and Jennifer Wynn, who was the mother of the defendant, all had a concerted effort to demonstrate in front of the courthouse, pack the courthouse. Everybody was wearing green ribbons. Anyways, that's one of the things I'd like to talk about. But the main story today that is circulating is about the police officers in Santa Ana that were caught eating edibles.
Yes, and, we reported on that at the beginning of the show today, and we recounted how they thought they had disconnected all the cameras in the dispensary during their raid, but they missed one because the dispensary was smart enough to hide one, knowing the cops might do something with it. And they caught these guys, what looks to be like eating edibles on tape, and they caught one of them talking about calling a lady in a wheelchair an old Bonita and saying she almost kicked her fucking nub of her amputation. I mean, it was just pretty bad. And now these cops want to suppress that video. What else can you tell us about this?
Well, it's kind of like the chickens have come home to roost. They're suing their own police department.
Yeah.
The officers are suing the Internal Affairs, saying that the video is illegal because it is obtained illegally. In their statement, they claim, and this is, quote, all police personnel present had a reasonable expectation that their conversations were no longer being recorded, and the undercover officers, feeling that they were safe to do so, removed their masks, unquote. Said the complaint, which is filed at Orange County Superior Court, quote, with the illegal recordings, there would have been no internal investigation of any officer under, or, unquote.
Wow.
And
let me restate this.
My lawyer, who is also on our board of the Human Solution, Matt Pappas, noted that police routinely use surveillance camera video against suspects. Quote from Matt Pappas, it's pretty pathetic for police to say if we don't like something that we can't use as evidence, unquote.
Yeah.
He said, quote, they knew they were on video. Just because they missed one camera doesn't make it illegal.
Right. I mean, first of all, this idea that, hey, we thought that we had gotten all the cameras taken down. So since we thought we took them all down, we thought we were in private. And since we thought we were in private, you can't use this video of this nasty shit that we did against us in a court of law. But you were in a dispensary with had to have had video recording cameras in use signs in it, because I know that's a requirement in these dispensaries. So that, like you said, the fact that you missed one of the cameras that you thought you were in private when you weren't doesn't seem like much of a defense.
It's more of a Hail Mary, in my opinion. The Free Thought Project has carried this story. Reason.com is carrying the story. It was in Orange County Register, and also Daily Kos, about a couple hours, came out with it. So far, it looks like Reason.com will probably break over 10,000 shares by this evening.
Yeah, that's fantastic news, because this comes on the heels of the, you know, another case that we covered was the University of Cincinnati campus cop who shot and killed a black motorist, you know, shot him in the head. And then he said, oh, well, he tried to drive off and he was dragging me along and I had to save my life. And then they get the body cam video off this cop, and there was nothing he said was true. And it's just good news now that cameras, you know, we all had this fear of Big Brother, like all the surveillance cameras, Big Brother's watching us, but it looks like Big Brother might be actually helping us against Big Brother, in a sense.
Yeah, and I don't really recall that officer asking the victim, Mr. Du Bois, if he mind him being filmed.
Right. Exactly.
Before he shot him dead.
Exactly. And these cops are going to have to start, you know, it's somewhat telling, too, that in their defense, it's like, oh, well, we were only doing this because we didn't think we were being watched. Well, yeah, that's the problem, guys. You don't, is what you do when you don't think you're being watched.
So it's hard to comment on something that's so ludicrous and beyond the pale that a man that can murder another man, have a $1 million bail, and be out within a day demanding that he get his job back.
Yeah, incredible. And that starts to get into the issue of police unions and the discussion as to whether or not our first responders should even have unions like this, that maybe this should be thought of as, you know, because every one of these cops that's shooting somebody is, you know, they get a couple weeks off with pay, and then they get the police union and the GoFundMe sites and all that raising money for these guys. And meanwhile, the victims' families... it's sometimes it's too big to even think about what we've got to do to tear all this down, isn't it, Mike?
It's as if RICO only applies to people that are not wearing a badge.
There you go. Exactly right. Well, thank you for calling in, and I want to remind everyone, the Human Solution is helping to keep everybody's minds on our POP prisoners, our POWs, and helping with court support in the current cases. You can learn more about them at thsintl.org. That's the Human Solution International.org. And thanks for calling in again. We look forward to your next call.
All right. You have a good day, bro.
You too. Well, folks, that music means that's all the time we got in these 2 hours. Time flies when you legalize. Join us tomorrow. We'll be joined for Hemp Day Hump Day Update with Doug Fine. Cross your fingers. Plus, coming up later in the week, more great guests, including on, I haven't got them absolutely booked, so I'm going to hold off on saying that until it's absolutely for sure. Stay tuned for the replay coming up at 6 o'clock and our great guest, Simone Simaluka Radzins, talking about finance in the cannabis industry. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.